And the Lord be with you. This morning, we are into our second week of our mission month at St. Andrew's Cathedral. And this morning, Jesus says to us, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. So what is the harvest before us, and how plentiful is it? In Singapore, the Protestant Christians, together with the Catholics, number about 19% of the population, meaning that there is still about 81% of the population that is still to be reached. But when we consider that the Diocese of Singapore has a missional responsibility over 6 missionary deanery countries, the numbers actually become quite staggering. The total percentage of believers in these 7 nations, including Singapore, is just about 7.68%, which means that over 92% are still unsaved. And that translates to over 466 million people in our missionary deaneries in the harvest field that is still to be reached. The harvest is indeed plentiful. But the question is, how are we to reach the millions? Some smart aleck will say, yes, one at a time. Yes, one at a time. But it begins with our own personal response to the Great Commission to labor the harvest fields in Singapore and abroad. With that, our passage this morning will serve to remind us of the mission that is given to us, to awaken in us a compassion for the lost, and exhorts each one of us in the participation of the Great Commission. Now, it is interesting that in Matthew chapter 4, verse 23, when Jesus began his ministry, and right here in chapter 9, verse 35, they both contain exactly the same verse. And the verse goes like this. Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. So sandwiched between chapters 4 and chapter 9, we find Jesus himself going out and demonstrating this mission to the disciples, the mission of teaching, proclaiming, and ministering in power. Now, teaching involves the transference of knowledge, whereas proclamation, preaching, moves and elicits a response from the listeners. Jesus proclaims the gospel of the kingdom, and then he invites people to respond to the salvation he gives. And then Jesus will perform healings and other miracles as a visible sign that the kingdom of God, which he preached, has truly come in the person of Jesus. This mission of Christ necessitated Jesus to go everywhere. Jesus did not just teach in the synagogues. He did not remain in his own hometown. He didn't wait for the people to come to him, but he went to the people wherever they may be. And therefore, Jesus was preaching. He was teaching, performing miracles in the temples, in synagogues, cities and homes, in the countryside, mountaintops, by the sea, on boats, and even in graveyards. In our passage today, from Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 to 39, provides actually a pivotal point in this gospel. Because after 9 chapters of Jesus going out and demonstrating the mission, in chapter 10, Jesus now commissions and sends out his disciples to proclaim the kingdom of God and to exercise authority over every disease and unclean spirit, just as he had done. And Jesus also warned his disciples that it won't be easy. They will be sent like sheep among wolves. They will face rejection. They will face persecution. And therefore, Jesus tells them to not fear, but to trust in him. This mission given to his disciples and to us is better known as the Great Commission, which is contained in all 4 Gospels. But just taking the Great Commission from Matthew and Mark, we see that central to this Great Commission is making disciples. Making disciples. And how do we do that? We do so by going everywhere, not staying, but going everywhere to all nations, to where the people are, to proclaim the good news, to baptize those who believe, and to teach them everything that Christ has commanded. We are commissioned to go. You know, at the end of every service here at 8 a.m., there's what you call the dismissal, right? Sometimes it's better known as called the sending, in which the priest will say, "Go in peace to love and serve the Lord," and we respond, "In the name of Christ, amen." To go forth to love and serve the God, Christ is sending us out from church after having been nourished by word and sacraments to be his light into the world, to be his witness, to serve him, to go into, as you were, the harvest field. This mission given to us compels us again to go into the harvest field in Singapore, among our friends, our neighbors, and also beyond into our missionary deaneries. Again, the question asks is, how are we to reach the millions in the harvest fields? We do so by obeying the Great Commission. And then it must be compelled, it must be motivated by compassion. Verse 36 says that when Jesus saw the crowd, he had compassion for them. This seeing of Jesus transcends our casual observance, our fickle attention, or even our limited perspective of people's life. Jesus' seeing wasn't from the comforts of sitting at home and watching the crowds from a TV or computer screen. Jesus saw and Jesus felt because he was right there with the people. The seeing of Jesus felt the darkness of the blind. Jesus felt the pain of the sick. He felt the weakness of the cripple. He felt the isolation of the leper. Jesus felt the sorrow of the grieving. To see the crowds and to have compassion for the lost, we need to be where the people are, close enough to understand and to know their plight in life. Now, the Greek word in the Bible for compassion is splagnizomai. Splagna refers to the internal organs or the bowels. And splagnizomai, or having compassion, means to be moved or to be distressed so deeply in your innards and your bowels that forces you to do something about it. It is more than just having pity, which is an emotional response. Now imagine all of us sitting here this morning and suddenly your stomach starts growling, not because you didn't have your breakfast, but because maybe a diarrhea is imminent. What do? You don't just sit there, right? Please don't just sit there. This pain that you have forces you to act, to do something. Likewise with compassion. No, we often feel pity and sadness towards the plight of other people, but we cannot say that we have compassion until we are moved to do something about it. A friend of mine was a successful businessman. We would say that he goes to church quite regularly, and only because his wife drags him to church. And he would often go to India for his business trips, and he said that every time he would be picked up in the airport, driven to the hotel, he will pass by a slum and he will see the many poor people along the streets. Yes, he will feel sad for them. But he shared on one particular trip, as he was driven by the slum and by the people along the street, he suddenly felt something heavy inside. And he found himself crying and crying and crying all the way to the hotel. He shared that he felt this deep sense of compassion for the people, not just because of their wretched poverty, but because of their lostness. His life completely changed after that. God and the mission of God took first place in his life. He did not become only just an active member in the church, but he channeled all his business profits to help mission organizations in reaching out to the poor by proclaiming the good news to them, giving them hope, eternal hope, and to help them out of their poverty cycle. And as Christians, we often pray for what, agape love, don't we? A supernatural, unconditional love to love others, the unlovable, even to love our enemies. But now as we consider going out and to fulfill the Great Commission and going into the harvest field, we need God to give us compassion. Therefore, we need to pray for splachni zomai. We need to pray for God to give us a holy diarrhea so that we can go beyond ourselves, beyond these four walls, to reach out to those who need Jesus. Now, what did Jesus see that moved him with compassion? He saw a crowd that was harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. The word for harass, skulo in Greek, is a word that means someone who has been troubled, vexed, wearied, and beaten down. And helpless, pito, describes someone who has been cast away, rejected, dispirited. They were leaderless, directionless, aimless in life, like sheep without a shepherd. Christ had compassion on the crowd, not only because he saw the sick, the poor, and the demon-possessed, but more than that, he saw in the crowd those who have been troubled, those who have been weary in life, beaten down by life, those who have been cast down, dispirited, going through life without any real meaning and purpose. Jesus had compassion because he didn't just see a bunch of nameless faces. He saw real people, people in pain, people in need, people who were lost, people without hope, without a savior. These people whom Jesus saw also describes the people whom we meet every day in our lives. They could be someone who seem happy, outwardly happy. They have good jobs, well-to-do, and seemingly have all the things they want. But if you look into their hearts, you may see someone who is in turmoil, who have fear, loneliness, and desperation. Or maybe it could be someone who is not as well off, but has to work in order to make ends meet. They work hard so that their children may have a better future. They face only hardship. They find no joy, nor any fulfillment or real purpose in life. Then there are also perhaps others who may have their lives driven by addictions, by drugs, gambling, alcohol, and so on. They may seem tough and reject the gospel, but when we peer into their souls, we see a person who is afraid to die and even more afraid to face the real world. Each and everyone is a lost sheep. Each and everyone is in need of healing. Each and everyone is in need of a savior. And perhaps we are the only one who is able to share the hope and the love of Christ that brings meaning, peace, true joy in their lives. The people around us, our friends, our loved ones, our neighbors, our colleagues, our schoolmates, are our immediate harvest fields. Make time for them. Ask God to give you a sense of compassion that we can genuinely care and love them into God's kingdom. Third point, participation. And again, Jesus says these famous words to us. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Why so few laborers? Well, that's because many Christians choose to ignore, to deny, or even to reject the Great Commission. So much so, this Great Commission of Christ given to us has become the greatest omission of the church. Well, some others may find other interests or priorities that takes the place of God's mission. Or maybe many Christians are just simply satisfied with religion, going to church, enjoying Bible studies, fellowship, and nothing more. Or maybe some Christians just do not know where to begin. Here, Jesus tells us that we are to begin by praying earnestly from the heart. To have compassion and to reach out to others is not something that can be preached over a sermon or something that is taught in a classroom. It has to be caught. And more often than not, it is caught through prayer. It is in prayer that we are caught up in God's love, His compassion for people around us and for the unreached nations. I believe it's Warren Wiersbe who said, "When we pray as He commanded, we will see what He saw, we will feel what He felt, and we will do what He did." God will multiply our lives as we share in the great harvest that is already ripe. So in the next 2 weeks, we will have our mission booths right outside the Welcome Center. So go there and collect these prayer cards so that you can pray, you know, with knowledge for our local church outreaches at St. Andrew's Cathedral and our overseas missions. But be prepared that when you pray, God may move you to move out of your comfort zone and to help others. They're selling a bit of koyo here today. We also have pamphlets there to help us in our journey. It is free. You can just collect them at the mission booth. Two pamphlets that talks about why missions, what is the biblical mandate that compels us to go out, and how we can be involved in mission. Not just going, by praying, by getting ourselves equipped, learning, welcoming nationalities from others in our midst, encouraging others, and to be an advocate and to give to missions. Or you can join us on our missions gathering on 13th November, it's a Saturday, to find out all the different opportunities where, you know, of our outreach and missions, where you can participate in the activities that's going to go. So just scan the QR code, is also available on our church website. Now, as we pray, Jesus tells us to specifically pray for God to send out laborers into the harvest field. When we were starting our church plant in Lakrabang, it's a small little shop house at the corner of a street, there was an elderly lady who lives nearby. And she will often drop by to say hi. And whenever we invite her to attend our church Sunday service, she would always politely decline. One day, she dropped in on her way back from work for coffee, and we started chatting. And as we were chatting and getting to know her better, she shared that when she was young, she had an abortion. Since then, she has this unbearable sense of guilt and shame. She felt that she has committed the ultimate sin and was too ashamed to attend our Sunday worship. She also shared that whenever she goes to the temple, the monks will remind her of her sin and bring condemnation upon her. They will then use her guilt to make her do more temple merits. But she said that no matter how much temple merits or how much merits or good deeds she does, she could never alleviate this sense of guilt and shame. And after she shared, we prayed for her, and she received Jesus there and then. And she said for the first time in her life, she felt real peace, peace with herself and peace with God. And she said there's no sense of guilt also, because she knows that God has taken care of that unborn child and that she has been forgiven by God because of Jesus. Now, as we got to know her better, do you know what was more shocking? She was an elderly lady, but it was knowing and learning that we were the first Christians she has ever met or ever spoken to. She was the one who needed to know God's love, God's forgiveness. Her heart was open, but no one has ever shared this good news and forgiveness to her. And there are millions of others, other ties like her. And there are hundreds and millions more in our mission deaneries who will never meet a Christian, who will never know Christ unless someone goes. The harvest is indeed ripe and plentiful, but the workers and laborers are so few. So pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for this joy and privilege of being gathered here as your people to sing praises to you, to give glory to you as Lord and Savior. But even as we depart from here, send us out into the world, into our communities, into the regions around us. Send us out in obedience to the Great Commission. Send us out with compassion of Christ, that others may know this love of Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.